Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hi, back on the Jeff Calkins Show. Joined now by Dan Devine. Covers the NBA for Yahoo. Your man Devine on Twitter or X. And the podcast is No Caprum, available where you get your podcast. Dan, welcome. What are we watching in the person of Anthony Edwards?
I think we are watching a man in full coming into his own in a very major way. I have a hard time imagining that there's a more confident human being on the planet Earth right now. Like, the level of self-possession of not just of, I'm going to go into a series with, like, the best player in the world and, you know, the big bully, the defending champions, and I don't believe they have a single guy who has anything for me, and I'm going to show you that on the road right away. And in the course of doing that, I'm going to be the kind of, like, rising tide lifts all boats leader who is pumping confidence into all my other guys at age 22. Like, it's just, it's kind of remarkable to see. I don't think that it's shocking necessarily. I mean, like, we've seen him, but, you know, you guys saw him in Memphis perform. I had pretty big moments in that postseason series a couple years ago. You know, we've seen the evolution in Team USA and the All-Star and All-NBA berth, like, soon to be coming for the season. You know, we've seen the line keep ticking up, but it feels like it just kind of hit a vertical climb the last couple of weeks, and pretty special stuff.
So it felt like we needed, as consumers, we needed Minnesota to win that first game, because now it truly is. It was intriguing in advance, but now
sure.
It's like, oh my goodness, what are we seeing here? So what does Denver do to respond? And is this a case of, you know, they trailed half against the Lakers every single game? They go down early to 18-4 in this game. Is this a case of Denver playing with its food and needing to get serious, or is it in fact a little more troublesome from their perspective than that?
Yeah, I think it's a little more troublesome than that, in that, you know, the recipe for Denver to sort of hit the gas and run away from teams has been, you give us the Jokic-Murray two-man game with Aaron Gordon lurking along the back line and shooters in the corners and spread the floor, and your defense just doesn't have anything that they can do with that. And the reason for that often, you know, we saw that against the Lakers particularly, was, you know, Murray could kind of get wherever he wanted to go on the floor and operate with impunity. And when Murray is at his best, which he hasn't really been with the exception of, you know, a couple of fourth quarters and some major shots in this postseason, when he's able to really cook in that way, it creates so many challenges for a defense to be able to cover up. You know, too many for them to be able to plug every hole. Well, Minnesota is huge and athletic across every position, basically. They've got multiple point of attack defenders they can throw on Murray, and Murray doesn't quite look like himself. He's been dealing with, right. I believe it was an ankle and a calf strain. and he's been having issues, you know, from the end part of the regular season into round one. And if he's limited and mitigated, then suddenly, you know, it's like chopping one of the legs out of a stool. And when you're able to put Gobert, you know, sort of as a lurker behind the play, you'll have him guard Aaron Gordon, put size with either Karl Anthony Towns or Naz Reid on Nikola Jokic. It makes it a little bit easier for Rudy to play, hang back and play the lob, which takes away another big part of what Denver is able to do in crunch time. We saw that, I think it was around like 96-91. Rudy goes back and plays the cat and mouse, knocks the lob away. Huge play in that game. And so the question with Minnesota was like, can you score enough? If you're going to be able to limit some of those defensive possessions, which we know that their size has given Denver problems, you know, even into the series last year, it was just, can you score enough with them? Well, if they don't have any answer defensively for Ant, and they can't make the Wolves pay for the other guys not making shots, and if Ant has the confidence that he's either A, going to just score himself, or B, keep setting those guys up for those looks, you know, they won this game pretty, you know, not comfortably, but they, you know, convincingly, yep, with the other guys not having a great shooting night. So, you know, I think the Denver's got, if Denver needed a wake up call, I think trailing in a series for the first time in the last two playoffs should certainly offer it, because Minnesota served notice. They're here to stay.
So Minnesota, I mean, most cognoscenti had them losing to the Suns, and, you know, not to point fingers, I think a lot of us did. So
no, myself, very much included.
I don't include myself as a cognoscenti, but you clearly are. So, so what? What is the revelation about Minnesota? Like, well, it, now that you see it all unfolding, it sort of feels inevitable. They got all these bodies, and they got this this burgeoning superstar. What has happened that we didn't anticipate?
Well, for me, it was I didn't believe that the complementary pieces would play well enough offensively to make Phoenix pay for throwing everything they could at Anthony Edwards defensively. I was like, if they're basically going to show the Giannis in transition wall of three defenders at Ant every time he's in the half court, then I think that, you know, it's going to force other guys to make shots, and I don't know that they can do it. And then they did it. And they did that, and then were able to cover up everything defensively with that size. The question wasn't, could they get enough stops? It was, could they score enough? And moving from that first series to the second series, I'm thinking, well, I do believe that the defense is going to be able to give Denver some problems, but I don't necessarily believe they're going to be able to score enough. And I don't think they're going to, like, clamp Denver down. So in game one, they were able to score enough. They were able to disrupt the offensive flow for Denver enough. And with Ant going for 43, and Towns having a nice game as well, that was enough. You know, it doesn't have to be overwhelming, blow your doors off every night. It's just got to be enough four times. And my thinking heading into the series was, I need to see somebody beat Denver four times to believe it, because I've seen, like, it's not that I don't think Minnesota is capable, I just know what Denver is.
Right.
So that was kind of where I was leaning on it. And now Minnesota has said, okay, so now do you think we can do it three? Because we already did it the one,
right,
and we did it on the road, and now all we got to do is win our home games, and we're home free in six in this series. And it's making things awful interesting. I think what the state of Jamal Murray's, you know, calf, ankle, lower leg is maybe one of the most important things in the entire postseason, right, because if they're able to disrupt him, and if Jokic is not, like, Jokic can counteract that because he's able to step out and shoot more threes, he's able to shoulder more of a scoring load, but they now need him, if Murray's a little bit mitigated, they need him to do everything. And there's no team in the NBA built like Minnesota to make that hard on him with all the size they can throw at him and all the off-ball help. It's getting really interesting really quick.
Here, you mentioned the legs of the stool. Denver's stool is only has a certain number of legs. Like, and they've been healthy all along. We've talked to, here what it is. Here's health again that's cropping up to maybe have a huge impact on a series. All right, you've written about, you previewed the Knicks-Pacers series. I've tweeted it out. People can read it over at Yahoo or check it out on Twitter. And you say that, because I think most folks are just saying, oh, yeah, the Knicks are going to win. We're going to get Knicks-Boston. This will be fun. The only question is whether we'll also have New York-Boston in the NHL. But you think it'll be closer than that?
Yeah, I mean, I and to the point where I started wondering, like what am I missing? Because I'm hearing people say, like, oh, Knicks in five. The Knicks are going to smash them. I'm like, well, the Knicks just went through, like, a pretty grueling series.
Right.
And the Knicks are, by the end of it, we're playing, like, 6.5 guys. And, you know, Julius Randle's out. Bojan Bogdanovic is out. Mitchell Robinson is you know, playing minutes, but kind of, you know, he's been, you know, limited and limping around, you know, in some of the physicality that they had against the Embiid and the Sixers. And the Nuggets put the show on – oh, sorry, the Pacers, rather, put the show on speed. They want to play in transition. It is a very, very styles-make-fights type of matchup because nobody got up shots quicker than the Pacers this season. Nobody wants to play in transition more than the Pacers. And the Knicks were dead last in pace, dead last in average time to shot. They want to – you know, grind the game to a halt and let, you know, force you to guard them in the half court and let Jalen Brunson make every decision and operate with impunity there. And they are dramatically different styles of all-star point guard in Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson, but they are both all-star point guards. And, you know, Pascal Siakam has sort of elevated the Pacers in a couple of different directions, but they're now not the terrible defense they were in the beginning of the season where they've got to get to 140 to beat you. They now can play a little bit. They can play a few different ways offensively. They've got some more physical matchups defensively. I think it's going to be fascinating to see what OG Anunoby does in this series because the Pacers and Knicks played three times this season, and OG Anunoby was not a Knick or on the court for any of them. So, you know, where does he line up? I'm guessing he probably guards his old buddy Pascal Siakam to start, but are they going to try to move him over to Tyrese Halliburton for stretches? Are they going? I mean, he guarded Embiid last round for stretches. Are they going to try to move him onto Miles Turner to take away the pick and pop game? I think tactically and stylistically, these teams are very different, but they can ask interesting questions of each other. And I think that, like, on a long enough timeline, I think the Knicks' physicality does wind up grinding the Pacers down. But I think the Pacers are going to take a pound of flesh along the way. People who think this is going to be a five-game series, I would be surprised if that was the case. I think the Pacers are good enough and can tax you enough offensively that this one's going to might go a little bit longer than that.
So in New York, I mean, the Knicks were so bad for so long. And then the Rangers have had their own struggles, whatever. I don't know. Like, it's, yeah, what's the vibe of a town? Like, New York has a vibe of its own all the time. Like, can
sure.
you even tell any difference that this is happening in New York? Like, is there, I don't know how one would define it, but it seems like a good time to be a sports fan in New York.
Yeah, I would say the main indication I have that stuff is going on here, that it's going well and people are interested, is that as I'm trying to, like, hustle from press row down to the interview room at the Garden, I'm fielding a lot of texts from, like, my brothers and high school friends and a lot of people being, like, a lot of expletives and emojis and memes and things all happening at once. I think the thing to remember with the Knicks, I mean, obviously, not a whole lot of success over the last quarter century in New York Knicks basketball, but I think there's a general sense, and you hear it sometimes when people talk about soccer clubs, like Barcelona needs to play a certain style of soccer, or Arsenal
right.
should always be this certain style of offensive team, this beautiful game kind of approach. The Knicks kind of always function best and make New York happiest when they punch you in the mouth. Like, the New York seems to respond best to a team that is physical and aggressive and wins with the accumulation of maximum effort that grinds you down over the course of time. That was the Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley, John Starks era Knicks. To a certain extent, it was also the 99 team that was the 8th seed in that lockout shortened season and wound up making the finals. And the Knicks haven't had a whole lot of that sort of team this year, until the last couple of years. But now, you know, Brunson, the undersized maestro, Josh Hart never comes off the floor, Dante DiVincenzo rolling a blow-up screens and then a bomb threes. Like, they've got guy after guy after guy that are physical in that way and that grind in that way. And I think that sort of scratches an itch in the city fan base to the point where now there is a love affair with this team, which then I think, of course, because of the way New Yorkers often are, breeds an overconfidence that I think leads to the Knicks in five that makes a guy like me say, I get it, but also pump the brakes, everybody, and then no one wants to pump the brakes. All gas, full steam ahead, and we'll see where that takes us starting tonight.
It is. The podcast is No Cap Room. He can read his stuff over at Yahoo and on Twitter at Your Man Devine. He is Dan Devine. Thank you, Dan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.